Lord, we thank you. We thank you for everything that you have made a way for. And we confess, Father, that sometimes there are things that stand in our way. Sometimes it's decisions that we've made. Sometimes it's unbelief. And in this moment, we say, Lord, we just want you. We just want your fullness, because when we try anything outside of that, it never adds up. But with you, it always does. And so as we give, Lord, let it be from a place of joy, joy that's put there by you. As we give, Lord, let it be from a place that lays down the priority of money and brings to mind the priority of kingdom. And so we pray this in your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. So just a couple of things to take note of. What we're going to do is just keep on interacting with one another. We're going to keep listening to what God has for us. And if God has another word or something, I want you to keep that fresh on your mind. If you have your program in front of you, it has a couple of verses from Psalms. 98. Can you tell me if that's right? Love it when my memory works. Psalm 98, 1 and 2 says, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things." That's a great word, isn't it? Marvelous. I don't think we use it often enough. So let's use it together. I invite you to just say marvelous with me on three. One, two, three. Marvelous. Okay, now put a little spice into it. Remember, we're not monks. This is not a monotone place. Give a little life into it. Marvelous on three. One, two, three. Oh, that sounded full. Like a song. Like a new song. "For he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations." One of our goals today as we move through is just to remember back this past year some of the marvelous things that he has done. We know that he has done marvelous things. And so if you are just visiting us and this is a kind of a one-off service for you, you're still welcome to jump up and share what God has done. And if you're here for a long time, please, you know, you're welcome to come up and share what he has done. So we're going to interact a little bit with that. I'm going to share a little bit from John 14, and then we're going to finish our service just hearing from our friend Mike Metcalf, who has served on the board for a number of years. And so I'm excited about what God has for us today in this unique, creative service. Jack.
Hi. Yeah, I just want to encourage everyone to never be shy to introduce yourself to the new person that you see in the congregation, or to just tap them on the shoulder or whatever. My favorite verse that I repeat to myself quite often is, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Last week we were sitting just back there, and there was a young fellow just in the row in front of us by himself. And we both felt an urge to talk to him, I guess, but Relene got to him first. And anyway, she ended up getting his address and everything, and our kids were up for Christmas, and we were wondering somebody to invite home for Christmas dinner, so she found out where he lived, and it was only a couple of blocks from us, or even a block away, I guess, in Roberts Creek terms. And so on the way home, we just stopped and invited him, and he could come. And so he did come, and the marvelous connection is that he had been praying that he would meet someone that lived in the country, that loved the country like he did, and that were Christians and everything. So that was really great. And then as the evening progressed, we found out that he was a fishing guide, and he knew all about the fishing, and so I had tons of stuff to talk about. And it turns out that he, a really good friend of my son-in-law Rob's, was his best friend when they were back in Camp Squia way back when. And so he came from a Mennonite family, the same as Rob did and everything, so the connection was there the whole night. Really exciting talk, and it was just fabulous. Anyway, God had it all set up totally. So never be shy to talk to somebody. Thanks.
Thanks, Jack. I think that encouragement is beautiful in that as we pray, we partner with God, what God is doing. And some of that requires us stepping out and sometimes taking risks. Some of it at other times requires us actually just accepting and receiving what God has made a way for. And so good words for us to remember. Thank you. This is a bit of an awkward pause because I forgot to put my mic on here, so give me a second. I just sense God's joy and his delight over us, that he looks down at each one of us and corporately, and he says, "Man, you're my kids. I love you." Sometimes that's hard for us to receive because maybe our love that we received from our earthly dad was confusing. But I want to say that this love that comes from the Heavenly Father is a pure love. It's a love that's unfiltered, that's unbiased. It's a love that we have access to because of Jesus, the greatest gift. So I was reading in John 14 the other day, and God put this on my heart. And it was just the first verses initially, and then it just seemed to expand a little bit. And so again, as we're taking a risk here, it's always a risk when you open a mic up, isn't it? When a family comes to me and says, "Hey, at this wedding, we really want to do an open mic," I say, "Okay, let's actually talk about that. Is that really what you want?" Or at a memorial service, we want to do an open mic during the ceremony, and I go, "Let me give you some advice." And generally, it's to redirect, to deflect, to move it to another place. But we're trusting today. We're trusting that God speaks to his people through his story. And it's so essential that we share with one another and that we hear what he has done. Would you agree? Yeah. Good. See, Jesus had this gift. He had this ability to walk into his whatever circle he was in, whether it was with his disciples or whether it was beyond that into a smaller group or even a massive group. And he had this amazing gift to combine the natural and the spiritual and blend them right into one. And if I'm honest, that's one of the greatest challenges that I face as I step up to speak and share with you each week. My heart is to show you and to explain and have God explain how essential, how relevant the spiritual things are that God has for us in our natural lives. And I think too often we hit natural and we discard the spiritual. So Jesus says this when he's with his disciples in John 14. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? So the implication here is that he's talked about this before with them. He's talking already about these spiritual far-off things, these things that are going to come after death, that Jesus, he himself has to go. He has to go and prepare this place. But don't worry. Don't worry, because there's already a spot that's there for you. Now, I would hazard a guess that most of us have experienced or felt some kind of stress in the last couple of days. Is that fair to say? Is there anybody here that has been 100% stress-free in the last few days? 98%. Okay, so we got 2%, which is impressive. Stick near Dave, he'll show you the way. There's this reality that things in our world, they stress us out, they create anxiety. And Jesus is talking about this next world, next level living. And he says, hey, don't be anxious. So think about the thing that you've been holding that is causing you deep anxiety and stress. Okay, just I'm not going to make you say it out loud. Don't worry about that. Think about it. Hold it in your mind. When you arrive in heaven, how much stress is that going to cause you? It's not. It's not going to cause you any stress. And so what Jesus is saying here is, hey, I want you to think of it from that perspective. I love you. I've got you. I've got a place for you. Let the reality of heaven influence your now. He goes on in verse 3, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Sometimes I read that verse and I go, huh, what? Let me say it again. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. Jesus comes back. And then he takes us so that we can be where he is. You know the way to the place where I am going. Now, often this scripture is read and it pauses there, right? We pause because it's this idea of heaven and rooms are prepared and everything's good. But these broken up parts of scripture, those aren't actually inspired. I had a professor in university once who called those the uninspired headings, because those are added thereafter, whereas the words of scripture themselves, which are generally a longer body than what we see broken up, are the inspired words. So right after this, in response, Thomas, we know Thomas, right? Thomas is the one who questions, he doubts, he doesn't quite get it. Thomas would do so well in our culture. He'd be encouraged even, wouldn't he? And I love the way that Jesus always loves him. Sometimes it's a tender rebuke, but he always loves him and explains to him. Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? See, Thomas is going, Jesus, you're talking in things, and I'm only understanding them in a natural way. I'm only understanding them with what I can see and what I can touch. Remember, after the resurrection, I'm not going to believe unless I can put my finger in the wounds. And so Jesus says, I am the way. And the truth. And the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Here's one of the common things that we see in our journey, isn't it? We wander through life and we go, well, if I could just interact with Jesus, if I could just have a conversation with Jesus, everything would come clear. And yet the disciples who walked every single day, who saw every single miracle, who were witness to it, still couldn't quite or struggle to wrap their minds around it. And the barrier is as we only see through our natural lens. All of a sudden, Philip jumps in here and he says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Now, it's interesting, as I was reading this past week, I've never really keyed in, but all of a sudden was brought to my mind this interaction of Jesus calling his disciples. If you've got your Bibles, turn back to John 1. I don't believe this will be on the screen. Starting in 143. And so Jesus is moving through and he's calling his disciples. He's called Peter and his brother, Peter and Andrew, I believe it is. And then he's at 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, finding Philip. Okay, same guy. Finding Philip, he says to him, come, follow me. And Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Right at the very beginning, as he was, the very first thing, as he's called into discipleship, he's making these declarations of belief, of faith. He's saying, we found the one that our people have been searching and waiting and longing for. And all of a sudden, after all of these movements, after all of these miracles, after all of this amazing teaching, it's just not quite enough. He wants just a little bit more. He says, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answers, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, Philip, remember when you saw me, the very first you saw me change water into wine. Do you remember that, Philip? Do you remember how good the wine tasted? Philip, remember when you saw me heal that person, I put my hands on their eyes and eyesight that had been gone since birth all of a sudden was there. Philip, remember when you did the same thing the next week in my name. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. See, Jesus is saying that it's God living in him through the Holy Spirit who's actually living and doing the work, who's giving him direction, who's showing him how to walk, how to live, how to move, what to speak. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you. And so whenever we see this very truly, it's like this marker. It's this, hey, pay attention. What I'm going to say holds extreme significance. I spent some time in Germany, and there's this word in German for exactly, it's genau. And all of a sudden, I started hearing people around me say, ganz genau. And I know what exactly means. What is genau? It's like super exactly. That's it. Ganz genau. Say that with me. I'm going to teach you a little German this morning. Okay, ganz genau on three. One, two, three. Ganz genau. Super exactly. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Remember the first thing he said, hey, I'm got to go away. I'm going to prepare some rooms. I'm going to come back and take you with me. He says, look at all the things that I've done. Look at all of the works that we've done. It's time for you to step into that next level of belief. Ganz genau. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. 13 says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now here's our challenge, church. Here's our challenge. I believe God is calling us into the greater things. I believe by his work on the cross, by the sending of the Holy Spirit, he's equipped us to do those great things. The barrier is for you and I understanding the natural and the spiritual world actually come together. And the shift for us who have life in Jesus. There are numerous places that Paul talks about this idea that in Jesus we die and we rise with him. Colossians 3 is one of those that says, since you've died to yourself, set your mind on Christ. Set your heart on things above. See, as we do that, our perspective shifts. We start to see through the lens of heaven. All of a sudden, the things that cause us anxiety have no power. And as we move forward, I believe this is the call for us. And so the invitation then, church, the invitation is to believe. The invitation is to believe that Jesus is sent by God the Father. That Jesus lived a perfect life. Where you and I make mistakes, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally, sometimes habitually, Jesus didn't. And that as he went to the cross, as he died, all of our sins, past, present, and future, are taken to him. And that he rose. Okay? And here's the part, isn't it? Here's the challenge that as we talk about this natural interfacing with the spiritual, there's no way in a natural a capacity that somebody can rise up from the dead. But when the spiritual truths that death had no hold on Jesus comes into play, all of a sudden, the same Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is the same Holy Spirit that inhabits us as we confess our faith in Jesus. Jesus is waiting right now. He's waiting for us to press into him in belief and in action. And I imagine that his attitude of waiting isn't one of grit, anxiety. It's one of anticipation. To be able to release into us, his kids, to see the greater things. Remember, these aren't my words. These are Jesus' words. To see us function and live and move in those. Do you want that? Yeah. Man, I want that. I want that not for Crossroads glory. I want that not for my glory. I want that for the glory of the Father. This, Because he's a good dad. And he alone is worthy. And see, that's it, church. There's so much more for us. And it's so much more that's held out like this by God. It's a come. Believe in me. Press in with me. Mike, can I invite you to come on up? And as Mike comes up here, I'm just going to pray for us right now. Father, you have so much more. And so I ask, Lord, that you would anchor this idea, this essential call to believe. I ask, Lord, that you would show us what's at the core, what's underneath the doubt. What's at the core underneath the doubt, any discouragement, so that we can cast it off. Lord, raise us up. Raise us up to be your people who are focused so steadfastly on you. Make us discontent with the things of the world so that we only find our true place of rest and peace in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, church, John 14, I want you to hold on to that. I want you to hold on to that idea, the idea of rooms, the idea of the blending of the spiritual and natural world, the truth that Jesus has made a way for us to do greater things. Think about what Jesus did. That's pretty amazing. Agreed? Yeah. All right, let's welcome Mike. Mike, welcome. Please have a seat.
Thank you.
Oh. There you go. Mike is a friend of mine. Mike was one of the first people that I met coming to Crossroads. I believe it was a Skype interview. Do you want to share just a little bit about that?
Yes. There were three people on a nomination committee. There was Casey Wilper, who has passed away. There was Suzette Stevenson and myself on the nominating committee. When we were searching for a pastor for Crossroads, and we met at my house, and we went around the room and said, "So you went through these 40 applications. Does anyone give us your top few?" And all three of us had Joel as our number one candidate, and we went, "God's speaking to us. I mean, this is obvious." And so we phoned him right then and there, and I was a bit tongue-tied, as I may get today, but it was like, oh my gosh, I think God is asking us to call this person to our church, and it is God has provided.
Yeah, thanks for the affirmation. It's funny, I remember that conversation. I remember saying to the nomination committee, because they said, "Oh, we're just going to go with you. God's brought us to you." And I remember saying, "Are you sure you don't want to expand?" "No, we're confident." And so that's beautiful. Now the goal isn't to talk about us. We want to honor you, Mike, because you've been serving at Crossroads for years and years. Not just since I got here, but really since the beginning of the church, right? And so I think it would be really essential for us to hear. And I was hoping that Mike would have been able to share this when we did our testimony Sunday a few months ago, but unfortunately it didn't work out. And I'm excited for us to hear, because I'm almost confident that the majority of Crossroads people, and we're recorded, right, today, we're good, that haven't heard this initial prophetic call that came at a Delirious worship concert. Can you just give us tell us the full story?
Indeed. There was a group of us who come to the decision that we were heading in a different direction than the church we were attending. And we had been meeting and figuring out if this was God's will and how to go about creating a church. And excuse me, this is going to be very emotional for me. It always is, because it has, sorry, it has impacted my life so much. So we have been meeting, and then as a youth group, and there was a number of us here who went on a youth mission to Vancouver, and we went to a Delirious concert, which was one of my favorite bands back in the 2001-2002 era, and it was just glorious. And so we were attending with all 30-some-odd youth, and it was glorious, as I said. And partway through a song, the lead singer stopped the entire band. And he was singing along, and he said, "God has just told me something." He said, "There's a group here who have to make a decision to step out in faith. And God has told me to give you reassurance that you were doing the right thing. That you need to step out. You need to follow what the plan is, that God has given this to me to pass on to you." And the amazing part was, we were there with a whole bunch of other adults from our church and these 30-some-odd kids, and not everybody heard it. Only a very small number of people heard that night. I mean, Jane and I were just, God has spoken to us. I'm one of those people that God speaks through his word, and he speaks through other people. I don't audibly hear his voice. And so this was like a complete, it just struck me. It just overwhelmed me that he had stopped to speak to me, that God had spoken to me through this singer. And I was overwhelmed. And so that, you know how as people, sometimes we can manipulate the way we look at things and think, it's God's plan. And really, it's our plan that we're manipulating, you know. We're trying to get our way. And then to have that reassurance through what this singer had said. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah. When I heard that story early on in my time here, it resonated with me, and I believe that has been one of a number of anchoring pieces for continuing that work that God has called us to do, which was to be a really missional, fully empowered church, right? That was that call that that group had.
The call was to reach out to the unsaved.
Right.
We were looking for a location where we could reach people who did an area that didn't have a church. We wanted to be strongly supportive of new believers and youth. That was going to be our focus.
Yes, awesome. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, and so I think that's important for us to know that's part of our calling as a church, is into that missional, that essential. Just like Jesus left in his departing words, where, "Hey, go and make disciples." That's what we're about. We're not about being a country club. We're not about trying to make everybody feel comfortable. We recognize that God doesn't always make us feel comfortable. He calls us on to more. Now, all that doesn't mean that it's absent love. Do you hear what I'm saying? Right? It's all founded on this beautiful love. Mike, thanks for sharing that story. I want us to hold on to that. That prophetic call. And let me ask you two other questions. You served on the board as long as I've been here. You served on the board at the start as well. I believe you had maybe taken a break and then come back on early on. Tell us, just share with us, some of the, one of the more challenging things that you found about being on the board.
I think always when you're on the board or when you're serving God, is that hard part between, is it your will or God's will? And so that's always been something that you always have to work through as a board, is, are you doing what you want or are you doing what truly God wants? I think some of the struggles that we did have, one of the more serious struggles were when our first pastor left the church. And it was not a very pleasant or lovely arrangement. And it was very, very hard on all of us. And you look back and you know, could we have done things differently? Could we have worked things out? Those types of things. And that was a huge struggle for us back then. It continues to be. I still say, God, you know, did we make the right choice, God? I don't know. And I don't know to this day if that was. And you know, as time goes on, only through time, through history, through do you come to realize that God is in control and God has the plan. And sometimes we don't see it right up front, but over time we do.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, thanks, Mike. I think it's probably relevant, just 20 seconds. The church that we live in is functioned under a role where the board itself functions collectively as one. So when we gather as the board, we make decisions together, right? Outside of that, we have a different role. We take on more of a shepherd role as elders as we step outside of that. And Mike's pointing out that sometimes we're trying to discern what our will is, and sometimes we're not always discerning the will at the same time. One of the things that I've appreciated, Mike, about you is that no matter what, you're always committed to God's will, and that you and I have journeyed through some significant things. But you've always been committed to God, and you've never walked, you've never abandoned. And so I just want to bless you and that and say thank you for that example. Yeah, he's a good guy, this Mike Metcalf. Mike, tell me one of the positive things.
Oh, there's so many. I mean, just there are millions. But yeah. First starting a church is a huge undertaking, but so amazing. In bringing people together, the sense of community, the hard work together. When you work together, when you build together, when you grow together, it has such an impact on your life. So even when we first started the church at West Seashell, we looked to God who opened doors, like we had looked around for a place that we could meet. And the principal at West Seashell at the time was a Christian, and she opened the gym to us. And so that was just more affirmation from God that I believe we were doing the right thing. Hmm. And they even had storage room. Now, if you know anything about schools, schools never have storage. And yet this principal said, yeah, we've got storage in the multipurpose room. You can have that. And so we came and we set up together and we tore down together. And there was that real strong sense of community because we spent time, like even when we go out here for coffee, it's wonderful, but the crew in here tears down and sets up in isolation. Whereas in West Seashell, when we set up or we tore down, we did it in community. So you'd grab your coffee and then you'd start tearing down the stage where you're yakking to someone who's sitting right there. Or you take 5 minutes and just chat with them and then get back to the work. So, but we grew together and we were very strong and tight and it had a wonderful, glorious feeling.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Mike. Very much. I agree. There has been so many positive ones, and one that I would just comes to mind now. I know for years the Crossroads had been seeking out a global thing, and so I'm really grateful that you were part of the leadership as we've made an initial commitment and are going to be seeing a first team go this year. Yeah.
Well, it's really exciting to be involved in global missions. Yeah. I think that's another area that brings your family together when you have a goal.
Yeah.
And I think the global mission goal is a real tangible thing that people can become involved in and enables you, when you take part in those missions, you, I believe, really grow closer to God.
Yeah.
There's that connection.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. Awesome. So good. So when a board member comes on board, we gather board members up and we pray around them and pray for them because Mike is stepping out, or stepped off the board as of the AGM. I'm actually going to ask Mike if he can pray for us as a church and for the board. And so can we just all stand?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, you are good. God, you are a good, good Father, as we sang this morning, Lord. You provide good gifts, and all good things come from you, Heavenly Father God. God, you have blessed this church in the past, and God, we pray that you will continue to bless it in the future. Yes. God, we long to be that light that people look for, that tower that people can strive to come toward to get to know you. So, Heavenly Father, just as we've just talked about, Lord, revealing yourself so that, and as we talked about, as we looked at the message this morning about Doubting Thomas and Philip and all of those people, Lord, take that doubt away, Lord.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Completely remove it. Let us have faith completely in you, Lord. And I pray for this board as they continue the work that you have set aside for us, that it would be truly your work, Lord, that it would be your will driving this church, your vision, your mission, Lord, that you would be who we seek, and only you, Lord. And as a result of seeking only you, that people would be drawn, people would come, and people would know you. So, Lord, I pray for continued blessing for our church, for continued blessing upon the board, Lord, and all who seek to know you and to follow you. Thank you, God, for all you have done and what you have given. In Jesus' name,
amen. 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 Let's just bless Mike and say thanks with just some applause here. Thank you. Yes, amen. So the board has got you a gift, Mike. We'll give that to you later on, I believe. But I want to encourage you, church, make sure you find Mike and say thank you. The hours that our board members put in some seasons, are it's almost like a second full-time job. And so just make sure you bless Mike and say thanks for all that he's done. And so, church, we're coming to the end of the year. In the next couple of days, I bless you in Jesus' name. And we look to God and say, thank you, God, for all that you have done, those marvelous things. And so as you're wrapping this year up, church, I want to challenge you to reflect on those marvelous things. They're there. I promise you, they're there. Sometimes you have to look a little harder, but they're there. Share those with people. And let's get ready next week when we meet to look ahead to what God is going to do in 2020. Bless you. Have an amazing week.